still owe me this, but you see what you do over the comics on the paper. As a kid, I never liked reading the paper, all the news stuff. But when Dad got the paper on Sunday morning, I got the comics, and I got to read a little of the comics, basically. And I remember this one for years, and was able to actually find it online. But you see here, Snoopy, our kids don't remember Snoopy, but Snoopy was great. Snoopy's griping and complaining that on Thanksgiving Day, everyone gets turkey and he gets dog food. But it's kind of funny because Snoopy teaches us something really interesting. After a moment of reflection, Snoopy comes to realize, well, it could be worse. I could be the turkey. I don't know about you, I think I can say this for all of us. Are we honestly thankful as we should be? Now notice I didn't say you're never thankful and that I'm never thankful. I didn't say that, but I am saying, can we honestly say we are thankful as we ought to be? And I think the answer to that question, even though I don't know your heart, is probably we're not thankful enough. I mean, you think about it in the day and age which we live, think about your car. Has it ever come to your mind within the past few months, I really don't like this car. I have to get another one. You know what? What if you can't afford another one? What if it's not a good decision to get another one? And how about we just sit back and be thankful that this car is called? We can go through the list of things of discontent in our life or things of coveting in our life. And the thing is, whether it be the house, whether it be our health, whether it be our body image, whether it be our possessions, whether it be people in our lives, there is this discontent. And sometimes maybe it's legit. There's a serious problem with health or whatever. And we're not, it doesn't ever occur to us, rather, to step back. And even in spite of the difficulty and problems and the misfortunes in our life, to be thankful. I don't know if you've ever thought about this before, but as we look at the next slide. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 to give thanks in all circumstances. Have you ever thought about that? In every situation in life, God says to give thanks to God. And you want to know something interesting? Right before that, in the previous verse, in verse 17, he gives us another command. Pray without ceasing. I want to tell you something. Naturally, you can go through life and never be thankful. Because naturally, we are, I think, mankind is prone naturally to be grumblers. We are naturally prone to be discontent and unsatisfied and complainers, okay? It takes effort, honestly, to be thankful on a regular basis. And you want to know something that I found that is contained in God's Word on how to be thankful? God has given us reminders to be thankful. Have you ever thought about that? God gives us reminders to be thankful. And specifically, whenever we pray. Think about this verse. Give thanks in all circumstances. Previous to that, pray without ceasing. What is he telling us? That every time we go to God in prayer, which we should go to God in prayer every day, but almost every time we go to God in prayer, there should be a time of self-reflection. There should be a time of self-examination. Listen to this. And it should be a time to give thanks to God for something in our life. Prayer, in other words, is one of the best reminders to be thankful. You see that? Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to look at three passages of Scripture where you find the phrase thanksgiving in prayer. Okay? And they're all in the New Testament. I want to go to three verses of Scripture where you find the phrase thanksgiving. thanksgiving in prayer. And I want to see how we can learn to be thankful when we pray in our everyday lives. I want you to turn in your Bible with me, for instance, this morning to the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. I know that's up on your board, but I still think it's good for us to go over our Bibles and to see what's going on here. Colossians chapter 4 and look at verse 2. Here's the first time we find this phrase. Notice it says this. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Alright? Being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving, I'll just say this in the Greek, it's just basically expressing our gratitude, expressing our thankfulness. It's the idea of being thankful and expressing it, but expressing it to God. That's thanksgiving. And thanksgiving, praying, and praying thankfully, and also at the same time in our prayers and in our lives, the Bible says to be watchful. Be watchful. Now, what's interesting about this word watchful is if you do a study on it in the Greek, you know what it means? It means to be alert. It means to kind of keep your head on a swivel, to be aware. That there's like an awareness of a watching of something. And if you're a hunter and you're in the woods, what are you doing? You're watching. You're alert. And whenever you're not watching and when you're not alert, it's good you've missed. I'm not a hunter, but I remember the few times I've deer hunted. There was one time that I was looking at this field in this area, and I was waiting for that buck to come by, and all of a sudden I heard a stomping and a snort right behind me. He was within feet of me the whole time. I missed him because I wasn't watching all around me. And I missed him. And sometimes in life as a Christian, when we're not watchful, we miss some big things as well. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, let me give you an example. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Because when you look at the word watchful here, this is it's found exactly here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, when the Bible says to be sober, to be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, what's he talking about there? In context, he's talking primarily about two things in 1 Peter 5. The devil is compared to a lion. I don't know about you, but if you're going into the woods where there's a threat of a bear or a lion, you're going to be watchful. Right? You're not the predator this time hunting. You're the prey. You're going to be watchful. The devil is like a roaring lion. What's he going to try to do? He roams about the world. And he has those who are his servants roaming about to tempt us, but also to bring hardship in our life. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 that when we go to God in prayer, we are watchful, but we're watchful in it with thanksgiving. Well, what's my point? Church, I'm going to tell you something. Anytime we're tempted to sin, we recognize it. The best response is to go to God in prayer, okay? But not only asking God to help us overcome it, but also thanking God that we can overcome it. Why do I say that? Let me tie in another passage of Scripture with you. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 that there is no temptation that has taken us is not common to man. In other words, any temptation you face in life, it's common. Somebody else is going through it too. Right? But the Bible says God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape so that we may be able to bear it. We live in a world today where people says, whether they're psychologists or counselors or even doctors or experts, whatever they're telling people right now that, you know what, you can't help it when you do wrong. You can't help it with what the Bible calls sin. There's nothing you can do about that. That's the way you were born. That's just something ingrained in your mind. You can't help it. You're not really accountable for your own actions. We're getting that way more and more. But when you understand what God's Word says, there is freedom and there is relief in accountability because you realize you are responsible for your own actions and you realize you can overcome and you can change. That's what God promises. Anytime we're tempted, church, we need to go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us overcome it, but also we thank Him for the promise that we can overcome it. I don't care. care what struggle it is, what addiction it is, whether it be with substance, whether it be with gambling, whether it be with the overuse of our phone and social media, by the way, which is addiction, whether it be with pornography, you go down the list of any addiction, and guess what? I don't care what anyone says, here's what God's Word says, and God says, go to Him in prayer and thank Him, because His promise says, you can overcome it. You don't have to sin. When you're angry, we don't have to sin. When we're tempted, we don't have to sin. And it's the same thing with trials. The next time you go on hardship, and just we'll leave it at that until we get to the next point. God wants us to be watchful in the sense of doing what's right. But whatever difficulty that is, I want you to think about all the reasons to be thankful in that trial. I do not like to run, and it shows, obviously. But here's something I know about running. It's good for me. It helps me out as far as health is concerned. Okay? Everyone has, if you exercise, there's an exercise you don't like. But you understand that by doing it, it makes you better at a sport, or it helps your health more than one bit. Right? And in a very similar way, that's trials in the life of a Christian. James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you can be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, trials, if we hold on to God in those difficult times, make us better people. It makes us stronger in our faith. It makes us stronger in our character. It makes us more insightful to the world and to others. And it makes us tough. Let's move on. Here's the second passage this morning. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Because when I say praying thankful, here's the other thing in regard to being thankful. One of the reminders, remember, prayer is a reminder to be thankful. And when we pray every day, when we pray without ceasing, every time we pray, there's the reminder to give thanks for something and someone. And here's another example. But notice Paul says this. First of all, he says, I urge that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, those are all basically three different words for prayer, to be honest with you. And notice, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And now notice this. For all people, and then notice what he says next. He says, for kings and all who are in high position, that we might lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Wow. Church. I knew a little girl one time. My parents told me, they said, our daughter does not like to go to sleep. And I'm thinking, well, what kid doesn't like to go to sleep? And every time it comes to go to bed, they fight it. And they said, here's how our daughter fights going to sleep. She prays. And you know what she does when she prays? She starts just praying about anything and everything in order to keep from going to sleep. So then eventually she gets to the conversation and thanking God for everyone she knows in her life. Aunts and uncles, school teachers, friends, and all of that. And it just, eventually she falls asleep. But I guess I'm kind of thinking, you know what? If a kid's going to fight sleeping, I guess praying's the best solution. Really is praying. Go ahead and pray all you want. That's not a bad thing, you know. Go ahead and stay up an extra 30 minutes and pray. That's wonderful. You probably won't make it 30 minutes if you're laying in bed. Go for it. Do it. But here's my point. When you think of the heart of a child, I'm sure that heart of a child, when she's thanking God for the people in her life, she's probably, if she's sincere, thanking God for the good things that the people were in her life. And maybe there's a powerful lesson I think we ought to take note of that, by the way. What are you saying? Well, when the Bible says to pray for everyone, that literally means everyone. That means people we don't like. That means people who mistreat us. That means people who, because they have such bad character issues, they're just horrible individuals, we have a hard time, you know, liking them because they're a horrible individual. That means people in government, by the way, who are doing a horrible job at governing the nation, make terrible decisions, and are wicked and are corrupt. That's who Paul's talking about here. I mean, you think about it in the first century context, what Paul's saying here. Paul is telling Christians and telling Timothy, pray for the enemy who's persecuting you. Pray for the person who hates Christ. And if, you know, if they can have you thrown in jail, they will on account of your faith. You pray for the Roman government that's not, you know, balancing their budget properly as they ought to, and is getting the nation more and more in debt and in inflation. That was going on then too, by the way. You pray for the Roman government that is corrupt sexually and immorally and in ways that just make you gasp, basically. You pray for these individuals who are as wicked as they come. And then notice, intertwined with that prayer is what? Thanksgiving. You be thankful for them. You pray to God for them and give thanks for them? Yeah. How do you do that? Well, let's do a quick exercise. We'll move on to the next one, shall we? Before we do this exercise, I want you to think about three questions. I'll ask you three questions. Number one, what is influencing us? Now, specifically, you're doing it. You get home from work, or if you retire, you watch the news, and there's typically this slant of where you are politically to the news that you watch a lot of times. And what is the news basically become on cable television and even primetime television? It has become hate propaganda. Yeah, there's some truth mixed in with it at the same time. But that's what it is. A lot of it is hating others. If you're enraged, they're going to keep you engaged, I've heard it said. And they're very good at that. Very good at pointing out corruption. And my thing is what are you allowing to influence you? Because I'm going to tell you something, you know, let's say, for instance, whether it be the federal government or the local government, if you're listening to people that is constantly criticizing and complaining, and sometimes that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that you should watch the news or anything like that. But I am saying, if you're only hearing the bad, and then once it just becomes propaganda and everything, what is your feelings going to be towards that person? Sometimes as Christians, we forget the fact that people have souls and God loves them and God wants them to go to heaven and have salvation just as much as us. In fact, if you keep reading 1 Timothy chapter 2, that's exactly what you find in verses 3 and 4. God loves everyone and wants everyone to be saved. But how much time do we follow the news and allow our heart to be filled with so much hate and bitterness that we lose sight of that? And yet at the same time, we also allow these people to influence us where there's nothing good we can say about someone. I'm going to tell you something. There's always something good we can say about people. That's what the Bible teaches here. So here's what you do. What do you find to influence you? Number two, the second question is, what are you looking for? And combined with what are you looking for, what's our focus? Take someone you don't like right now. All right? Now you can either pray right now, or you can do it when you get home. I don't care with it. Take someone in your life right now that's in your life, that's not on the news, or that you don't like. And I want you to go to God in prayer and find something good about them. Now that might be hard. That might be giving thanks to God for because maybe they mistreated you and it has made you a better person. You know? It may be giving thanks to God that even though they're like this, at least they're like this, and they're not as bad as it is. You know, there's always something to be thankful for. And that's the thing. God tells us when we are to be thankful, we prayer is the reminder, but we're thankful for everyone, even if they're bad people. And sometimes maybe the problem is with us. You know, maybe sometimes we're just only focused on the problems of others that we fail to see the good in others. And you know what? Prayer, and praying with thanksgiving, helps us to actually see good in others because we start looking for good in others. And others, maybe they're not so bad. Let's look at praying thankful involves the concept of not just praying for everyone, not just praying in the sense of being watchful in trials and temptations, but here's the final this morning. Praying thankful, even when we're anxious. The last passage that you see right here is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. If you notice something, all three of these passages address praying, okay? But in the midst of addressing praying, God commands us to be thankful in our prayers. And the thing about it is, when God commands us to be thankful in our prayers, have you noticed something? It's at the most inopportune time when you think you shouldn't be thankful. Being watchful, being alert, being thankful at the same time? Yeah. Yeah. Praying for enemies, praying for people who are wicked and evil, and being thankful for them at the same time? Absolutely. And also here. Notice the Bible says this. Do not be anxious. Let's talk about the word anxious. It's the word we get, and really, this is the English Standard Version. If you have the New King James, the word maranao means to worry. It means to worry. Now, we can do a big word study on that. Paul actually used it in a good way, maranao. He talked about, for instance, in Philippians chapter 2, how Timothy was generally concerned, that's the word there, for the well-being of other Christians. You know, as a Christian, you care for their souls. That's actually, when you care for someone's soul and they're not living right, it's going to trouble you. That's not a bad thing. You know, Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, his anxiety for all the churches. He cared about them. So if they're not living right, it bothered him. That's okay. But there are other things that we shouldn't worry about. You look at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about the necessities of life, and that's perhaps, of all things, the necessities are the most common things we worry about, right? But we tend, as Christians, even go a lot further than that, worry about a lot of things, don't we? But here's the thing with Paul says here, okay? Be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. In other words, if you keep reading, God knows there are times we become anxious and when we worry, but what do we do about it? Well, some people just sit and worry and make themselves more and more miserable. God says, turn it over to Him. Turn it over to Him in prayer. Because when you look at the next verse, that's why I didn't put verse 7 up there, but when you turn it over to Him in prayer, notice that it says next that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If there's a trust in God and you put it at God's feet that He's going to take care of it and He's in control, there's an inner peace we have. The problem may not go away, but the one in control promises us that if we respond rightly, everything's all good. But mixed in with that, peace is also, by the way, the command. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, watch this, with thanksgiving. Let your request is what's bothering you, what you're worried about, what you're anxious about. That's it. Let your request be known to God, but also address God with a thankful heart at the same time. Have you ever thought about that? Worry and thankfulness. One of the greatest antidotes to anxiousness is thankfulness. It really is. Let me give you a few examples. What are some things we worry about? Okay, number one. Just do a quick study. What do people worry about the most in life? Okay, number one, people worry about our health. We worry about our health. And you know something? Anytime we're concerned about our health, you know what we should do? We should do exactly what this verse says. We should go to God and talk to Him about it. Okay? And you know what else we need to do? We also need to thank God for all the years that we didn't have this health problem. A lot of times we don't. I don't know what health problems you have or will have or I'll have and all that. But you know what? Anytime they arise, it does us well to go to God in prayer and say, you know what? Thank you all these years. I never had this. I never realized that how blessed I was to not have this problem. Or, you know, you think about your health. Thank God in the sense of the possibility of recovery. Thank God for medication in His created world. Thank God for Him getting man. this world alive. We're all going to die. The other thing, though, is that I'm not trying to be insensitive here, is what if there's a health problem where there's no recovery from it? Is there still something to give thanks God, to give thankful, to be thankful about? Absolutely. You know what it is? That as a Christian, that even if this illness takes me, I'm going to somewhere far better anyway. There's always, when we think about worrying, there's always something to be thankful for. We worry about our health. Here's another thing we often worry about. We worry about our finances. Debt, bills, job security. You know something that I learned? A thankful heart can help your finances. Let me say that again. A thankful heart can help your finances. You want to know how? Because anytime we go to God in prayer over financial concern, a thankful heart in a time of evaluation helps us come to realize that what we have is more than what we need. And what we want, we really don't have to have it. We worry about relationships, too. You know, whether it be marriage, whether it be a relationship with others, and you know, this previous one kind of really ties into that. And you're in a conflict with somebody, I don't care who it is, your boss, somebody at work, you know, your spouse, somebody in your family, your neighbor, alright? And guess what? That troubles us. You know what God says in Philippians 4 verse 6? Pray about it. But also find a reason to be thankful about it too. Find a reason to be thankful with them. You can do it. And I know I can too. But when the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18, to pray without ceasing, and in every situation in life, give thanks. And then when you put about every situation, you go when the Bible commands us to pray at, you know, over things that are troubled, over things that are bad, and then he says to be thankful, condoned in that prayer. You can do it. Prayer is a reminder to be thankful to God. It really is. And I promise you that it'll change our mindset. It'll change the way we think when we do that. It requires it. We have to. And overall, a thankful heart is a joyous heart. And I know this. God wants Christians to be joyful. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul said in Philippians 4. And you know what? One of the ways, and one of the real secrets that people oftentimes overlook of being joyous, but in particular being joyous in Christ, is always having a thankful heart. And one of the ways we always have a thankful heart is always going to God each day in prayer. And understanding that prayer is not just a bunch of requests made to God. Prayer is a time to express thankfulness and praise to God. You know, you're here this morning, and maybe you're outside of Christ, and you're not a Christian, and you realize, you know what? I've got so many things in my life to be thankful for, and the most important thing to be thankful for is what Jesus did for me on the cross, the salvation from sin. The very fact that I'm separated from God and bound to an eternal hell, and God has made it possible for me to be reconciled back to Him by paying the price for my sins on the cross, and then raising from the dead 3 days later. It's the greatest thing ever happened to me. You can respond to that in faith, that you believe Jesus to be the Messiah, and making the decision to repent of sins, turn your life around, pledge your allegiance to Christ, live the way He wants you to live from this day forward. If you're willing to do that this morning, being outside of Christ, you can confess publicly you believe Jesus to be the Son of God. And from that confession, as the Bible teaches, we'll baptize you,